Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We begin here on a Wednesday on Football Full Circle, Sirius XM, Channel 159, all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. I am Ben Stevens, alongside the mastermind of the pigskin, Joe Lisi. Another day, another edition, Lisi, of FFC. It is great to talk shop and some ball with you today.
Yeah, this is I'm really excited, Ben, because the news that's coming out right now, especially in the NFL, in terms of the Deshaun Watson situation, we talked about it all offseason, right? Maybe they haven't decided on a potential suspension, but we talked and we advised potential gamblers, do not put a dime on the Cleveland Browns in any capacity, right? They were 2-1 about 2 months ago, going right into about a couple of weeks ago. Then all of a sudden, we saw a little movement within the division from 2-1 back to plus 250. Right now, today, we're seeing them. They went from 10-1 in terms of the AFC odds to now 20-1. They're plus 350 to win the AFC North. What's going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. The ability for Deshaun Watson not to be in that lineup for potentially the whole 2022 season, that's what's looming for the Cleveland Browns. And good luck with Jacoby Brissett as your starting quarterback right now, because Baker Mayfield wants no part of it.
Certainly so, because the latest update for Deshaun Watson, he began his disciplinary hearings with Sue L. Robinson, the person responsible for overlooking this case, both on the side of Deshaun Watson and the other side of what the league will argue. She is jointly appointed by both the Players Association and the NFL itself. That disciplinary hearing began yesterday. It concluded. It is said to resume today. When exactly will we hear a final ruling, a final word on Deshaun Watson's actual suspension? That is unclear at this time. But, Lisi, heading into this disciplinary hearing, we got reports the National Football League, the league office itself, based on its personal conduct policy, was going to seek at least a full year-long suspension and possibly an indefinite suspension that would require Deshaun Watson to reapply for his status as a National Football League player, which, as we have just stated, has moved the market, and drastically so in the last 48 hours. The Cleveland Browns, once 10-1, the fifth best odds to win the AFC Championship, that price has now doubled. They are 20-1, now the ninth best odds to win the AFC Championship alongside the Miami Dolphins, tied for the ninth best odds to win the conference title. And as Lisi just stated, only 2 weeks ago, the Cleveland Browns were booked as the favorites to win the AFC North at plus 200. At that time, about 10 cents ahead of the Baltimore Ravens. Then we heard more about the Deshaun Watson case, all of those outstanding civil lawsuits, even after 20 of the 24 were settled, even though that sounds like a crazy thing to say, 20 of 24, just an astronomical number, and four still outstanding. And further updates, they finally moved the market, Joe, on the FanDuel Sportsbook to Cleveland not being a co-favorite. In fact, in third at plus 250, but now they move back even further, plus 320 for Cleveland in this market. The Ravens, your favorites at plus 155, and the Bengals, the second best price at plus 180. So the market is starting to adjust with all of the updates we have seen with Cleveland's situation surrounding Deshaun Watson. And again, we await what that suspension is going to be. And at that point, Joe, we'll have a final determination of what the odds will stack up like.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I tell you what, they're in a complete free fall for the Super Bowl champion this year, because they were in the area of about 13-1. Like we said, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, prior to all this news coming out, they got absolutely crushed in the Super Bowl betting market. They're 34-1, right ahead of Minnesota on FanDuel in terms of 40-1. They're behind now number one seed from last year, Tennessee. They're behind Indianapolis. And Joe Burrow, who, by the way, took his team to the Super Bowl last year. So the books, we always said, when would the dam break in regards to the books reestablishing these lines, right? Well, the news leaked out potentially yesterday, and the books reassessed. And you know what? They pulled a rope-a-dope on everybody, because they assessed the Cleveland Browns at 2-1 for the division, 10-1, or anywhere from 10-1 or 13-1 in terms of the AFC. They sucked in everybody thinking that maybe they knew more than everybody else, and now they readjust. Imagine if you would have waited 2 weeks, 2 months, right where we are right now, 34-1 to win the Super Bowl, plus 320 to win the division. I mean, it's astronomical in terms of line movement right now.
Incredibly so. And still, even at this point, Joe, it's not like we're advocating for value on the Cleveland Browns. I'm still not putting a cent on Cleveland's prices. And we'll further the conversation about what Baker Mayfield had to say as it states his time in Cleveland. Because, of course, the former number one overall pick is still on the Cleveland Browns roster. So is there some hope that maybe if Deshaun is out for the entirety of this season that Baker steps up to the rescue? It does not seem like that is the case. Telling ESPN's Jake Trotter yesterday, Joe, it's probably just best for both sides to move on. So they don't really have a replacement in sight out of Jacoby Brissett, and Jacoby Brissett looks to be that guy. There was some speculation about a week ago that maybe Baker Mayfield would be swapped in a 1v1 trade for Jimmy Garoppolo from the San Francisco 49ers, but they still need to see Jimmy throw after undergoing off-season shoulder surgery and what exactly that looks like. He should be cleared to throw here within the next couple of weeks. We'll further that conversation, what Baker Mayfield had to say yesterday and what it all means, up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Yes, you are. Live right here on a Wednesday on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. This is Football Full Circle. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi, and we continue on, Joe. Baker Mayfield yesterday at his quarterback camp in Norman, Oklahoma, speaking to a group of reporters who pretty much asked him, hey, what's going on? What's the latest update? Are you playing for the Cleveland Browns this year if Deshaun Watson is out? Is it fair they haven't dealt you yet and keeping you in this limbo state? And Baker pretty much said, listen, I'm not going to totally rule out the idea of reconciliation, but it would be on the Cleveland Browns organization, Joe, to make that first move, to reach out to him. And at this time, he feels like he has moved on and he's excited for whatever that next step might be in his NFL journey.
You know what that action is by the Cleveland Browns, Ben? It's not coming out and saying, we're sorry, Baker. It's duffel bag boy. That's what it is. Duffel bag boy. Remember the gambler out in Vegas that would just throw $2-3 million on a game? That's what Jimmy Haslam has to have in terms of Baker Mayfield being all bought in. Because it's not just, hey, Baker, we're sorry. And Baker might need to play to up his stock to potentially move on from the Cleveland Browns next year. So you want to stay sharp. But at the end of the day, you might as well leverage the situation since they ran your ass out of town. Now, I'm not saying I love Baker Mayfield, but at the end of the day, he was a gutty quarterback, didn't take his team to the playoffs last year, played hurt, played and got the team as far as he could last year under the circumstances. But when you have players like Jadeveon Clowney say, oh, I'm coming back to the Cleveland Browns because Deshaun Watson's there, and Myles Garrett, your defensive leader, saying, don't worry, Baker will be okay, like we don't have to deal with him anymore because we got Deshaun, You know what? If I'm Baker, I'm going to leverage that to some capacity because I played my ass off, not saying I thought he was great, but at the end of the day, I was the quarterback that took the team to a playoff win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, almost knocked off Chad Henne and Arrowhead. So at the end of the day, I should be able to leverage that. And for Jimmy Haslam, who was one of the worst decision makers in terms of the NFL, because this is definitely the worst NFL trade, any type of move that we've seen in terms of the guaranteed money, you better buck up and put a $5 million spot in a bag and give it to Baker Mayfield and drive it to his house if you want him to be the starter week one.
See, Joe, I appreciate Baker's standpoint here, and I like what he is saying. He's being very pragmatic, and I appreciate what he's doing. Honestly, the ball is in his court. He is the one that looks really good in this situation, leaving a disastrous organization right now in the Cleveland Browns. So I get that. But I don't really know if reconciliation is possible. Because Baker was not only offended by actually bringing in Deshaun Watson, but before any of this even started, just the idea that Cleveland was interested in negotiating in trade talks with Houston was enough for Baker to be like, that's it. I'm done. Trade me. I will never pay another snap for the Cleveland Browns. And frankly, I don't fault him because he was the number one overall pick in a terrible situation in Cleveland and gave that franchise, that city, when they didn't have a lot, finally some hope getting back to the postseason in 2020 for the first time in a very, very long time, winning a playoff game. And then, yes, last year was not good from a win-loss perspective when the hype was still there and the optimism was still high for the Cleveland Browns. That being said, Baker played through countless injuries and really laid it on the line for this franchise that then very quickly turned its back on Baker Mayfield. And I don't think he should be that stopgap. I don't think he should be that last resort. Like, oh, I just texted that one person I have interest in and they said, no, I don't want to go on a date. Let me go to my backup plan. I don't think Baker Mayfield should be that for the Cleveland Browns. I believe he deserves more. Where that next stop is going to be in the National Football League, we have speculated at some of those possible destinations for Baker Mayfield, but I do not believe it should be in Cleveland. If I was Baker, I would say to the Browns, you have made your bed, now lie in it with the $230 million of guaranteed money you burned.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. The problem is, what if they don't want to move him, right? What if they say, you know what? We're going to screw you as well. You screwed us now. We're coming back. We're crying. You don't want to buy in. We'll just hold you out for next season and then, you know, see where the chips fall. But the problem for Baker is, and we talked about this with Deshaun Watson, you want to stay sharp, right? For a quarterback, the timing, the key, he's coming off an injury, right? So at the end of the day, you want to have that game type of experience under your belt. You want the preseason. You want the ability to practice with your new teammates if it is in Carolina or Seattle or another organization. For them to potentially hold him out, that would be more of a detriment Baker Mayfield big picture, right? That might set him back 2 or 3 years. So if I'm Baker, and I recognize that it is a business, I sort of play hardball. And you know what? It comes down to this, though, Ben. This is why I say the bag of money. You threw Deshaun Watson $280 guaranteed money. You didn't throw me anything. And I played hurt. I know I didn't step up, but at the end of the day, I was the guy under center for the last 4 years. I was the guy throwing my life on the line, per se, for this football team. I was the potential face of the franchise when you had garbage quarterbacks. So at the end of the day, why can't he leverage that to maybe just say, all right, give me the bag of cash, $7 million, $10 million cash. You have it, Jimmy Haslam. You had $280. Throw me a bone, and I'll play for your ass this year.
And let's not forget, Baker Mayfield is only 27 years old. He's only been in the league for 4 years. So he is still trying to prove himself as a sustainable and successful starting quarterback within the National Football League. And Joe, you bring up a great point. You really, really do. That Cleveland does hold all the cards. Although Baker is steadfast in his point and I believe looks a lot better from a perspective standpoint than the Cleveland Browns do, Cleveland still has him under contract. And they could say, you would hope it wouldn't be that evil side of the business, but they could say, listen, Baker, you're still here. We want you to play. You stay and play. And that would be a very, very difficult thing for Baker to have to withstand, because you're right. He still needs to play at this level. He still needs to show that he can be a sustainable quarterback at this level, and we'll see exactly what that looks like. Joe, we have speculated a ton about possible destinations for Baker Mayfield, right? We've looked at places like Seattle. We've looked at places like the Houston Texans bringing Baker back to his home state. We're talking about teams, when you reference Carolina, Seattle, Atlanta, and Houston, maybe some of the most likely destinations for Baker, that all rank in the bottom five in terms of longest odds to win next year's Super Bowl. The Panthers are 130-1. Seattle is at that same number, 130-1. The Falcons have the second longest price at 250-1. And the Texans, the longest odds to win next year's Super Bowl at 300-1. So whatever situation Baker Mayfield might end up in, if it's not San Francisco, it's going to be one of those bottom five teams, Joe, at least from an odds perspective. It's not exactly like the, you know, the darling of the ball, shall I say.
No, it's not. But if I'm Baker Mayfield, if I could pick a team where I want to go, I would want to go to Seattle because of the foundation of young talent that they have. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, you have an athletic tight end in Noah Fant that if he's utilized in that particular scheme could put up numbers, right? Offensive line is a little suspect, but look at the running backs. Kenneth Walker, Chris Carson, you have Rashad Penny that was one of the most dominant running backs at the end of the year, was running for $1.60, $1.70 over pretty good defenses. So why not play with that type of foundation from an offensive perspective and a coach that won a Super Bowl and a national championship?
Yeah, absolutely. So a 5.5 win total for Seattle, a 5.5 win total for Carolina, 4.5 for both the Falcons and the Texans. And technically, Atlanta has the lowest win total in all the National Football League entering this 2022 campaign, because the under is juiced at minus 120. The under also juiced for Houston, but at only minus 115. We'll come back and continue. Much more conversation around the National Football League as it stands right now, toward the end of the month of June. Some big wide receiver moves, because the wide receiver market continues to up its ante. Stay with us here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Back right here, Football Full Circle, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. And Joe, in this NFL offseason, we have seen the wide receiver market from a free agency perspective go absolutely bonkers. Of course, the big blockbuster deals with Davante Adams going to Las Vegas and Tyreek Hill going to Miami, but even guys like Christian Kirk getting paid up the wazoo in Jacksonville. You had all of these other big free agency signings. A.J. Brown wanted a new deal, and he got one after he was traded to Philadelphia. 4 years, $100 million in that extension. The same can now be said for Terry McLaurin of the Washington Commanders, signing an extension yesterday with the Commanders. 3 years, $71 million in new money. Terry McLaurin gets paid, Joe, and frankly, I think he deserves every penny.
He does. Leading receiver for the team now. Cam Sims is a nice receiver as well, and they drafted Jahan Dotson and Logan Thomas coming off the ACL. But McLaurin is the guy that really steps up in big games. He's the go-to for at least last year, Taylor Heineke, and now we have to see for Carson Wentz. But big picture right now, there is a foundation as well with Washington for this team from an offensive perspective to make the playoffs. All the pressure fall on two things. Can Carson Wentz lead this team? Because there's no excuse now. You can't say, no, we know that. Absolutely not. I agree. I love the running game with Antonio Gibson as well. Right. But will that defense bounce back into the form where they won the division a couple of years ago, where they were one of the most dominant defensive fronts? We need to see Chase Young bounce back. If they could just give us maybe 15th best in the NFL, maybe. But then it really falls on Wentz, and that's where I have major concerns.
And that's the biggest thing for Washington in that defense. That will be what carries them to any success in my mind because of those major concerns around Carson Wentz. Now, the Commanders in 2020 tied for the fifth best scoring defense in the National Football League, only giving up just north of 21 points per game on average to their opponents, and even better when it came to that total defense perspective, Joe, in 2020, when you look at where they were fifth best. So top five in both of the key metrics when we look at defenses from a statistical standpoint. Scoring defense, how much are you giving up? Total defense, how many yards are you giving up, allowing your opponents to get within striking distance from that scoring perspective? That was Washington in 2020. But in 2021, in not a great year for the Commanders, that defense regressed in a big way. Bottom 11 in the NFL in terms of total defense last year, Joe, from 315 yards per game to nearly 360, and scoring defense was even worse. A top five defense that then ranked eighth worst in the NFL, giving up 25.5 points per game. That, I think, is where they need to regress back to the mean. You say top 15. I think it needs to be top 10. Why do I think it needs to be top 10, Lisi? Because I have no belief whatsoever in the incompetence that Carson Wentz has shown as a starting quarterback when times matter most, outside of the year that he was a part of the Super Bowl winning Philadelphia Eagles. But of course, Nick Foles was the quarterback of that Super Bowl game.
Yeah, I agree with you. Top 10, they would really solidify them from being a playoff contender. Think about the games that they lost last year, right? I mean, Jameis Winston threw for four touchdowns in that victory on the road in Washington last year, right? They got abused by Patrick Mahomes earlier in the year when they were basically a 4.5, 5-point underdog. The secondary got abused. And at the end of the day, though, you look at that ball game against Dak Prescott, divisional opponent, would they allow 50? 50, was it 59 right in that ballgame?
Yep.
I mean, come on. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, if they can't stop anybody in terms of an elite passing attack, so if you're not getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks with Chase Young coming off the injury or that front seven, Allen and the crew, what happens? Quarterbacks just sit back there and pick apart your secondary. I mean, for God's sakes, they have Landon Collins, an old man back there, and I love Landon Collins, but at the end of the day, he's out of Alabama like 8 years already. You can't have that. I mean, come on now. I mean, we have kids that can run a 4.240. You know, they had an aging secondary. Russell Wilson had a better game, one of his better games, when he pulled that Monday night game out 17-15. So that secondary needs to get better, but it starts with the front seven. I agree with you as well. I think top 15 will get them into the wild card mix. Top 10 definitely will make them a contender, Ben, for a divisional title. You might want to take a shot where they are right now, right ahead of the New York Giants.
So let's talk about that NFC East division and put it into context with Washington. And first, before we do all that, let's give Terry McLaurin his roses and his due. He averages 1,000 receiving yards, greater than 1,000 receiving yards in his three-year NFL career. Each of the last 2 years, well over 1,000 yards. He had 7 receiving touchdowns in his rookie campaign. And in these 3 years, Joe, he has played for Washington. He has done it with a cast and crew of mediocre quarterbacks. Ryan Fitzpatrick, probably the best of them in Fitzmagic, but guys like Taylor Heineke, guys like Kyle Allen, so many different quarterbacks for Washington, and Terry McLaurin has still been putting up big, gaudy numbers. He is worth the three-year, $71 million extension based off his rookie deal, and again, Terry McLaurin missed mandatory minicamp to make this point. He finally gets a deal done with Washington, and frankly, they needed to invest in Terry McLaurin, Joe, because they invested in Carson Wentz. You need to give him those weapons at his disposal to hopefully utilize this upcoming season. But again, let's go to the NFC East, because Washington right now, plus 165 to make the postseason, the 10th best odds of teams in the NFC to find their way into the playoff picture. 10th of the 16, of course, in that side of the National Football League. Their win total, Joe, is 8.5. The under so heavily juiced at minus 170. And those odds to win the NFC East, the third out of four. Second longest, third best, depending on how you want to look at it. Plus 500, where the Cowboys are your favorites at plus 120. The Eagles behind them at 2-1, and the Giants at 6-1, the longest of the four.
I think they could be maybe a 7 or an 8 win football team. I don't see them being 10 or 11, but I just don't. I don't believe in Carson Wentz that much. And let me take it a step further. How much more can we coddle Carson Wentz? I mean, he goes with one of the best rushing attacks in the NFL last year with Jonathan Taylor. He couldn't lead that team to a divisional title, number one, and more importantly, a wild card appearance, losing as a 15.5-point favorite on the road to Trevor Lawrence. And at the end of the day, now there's no excuse. You just poured, how much did they pour into Carson Wentz? 41 million? 40 million? Whatever it
Something
was.
Like that. Let me look it up. I'll look up the exact number.
Yeah, but my point is, all right, when do we say enough is enough? The guy's not a winner. So if he can't perform with Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, Cam Sims, Jahan Dotson, and a great running back, up-and-comer in Antonio Gibson, when do we say, you know what, the book is written on Carson Wentz? He's got the ability, but the kid just can't win. I mean, that's what it comes down to. He doesn't have the heart. He just doesn't have something. I'd rather have Taylor Heineke's heart and physical attributes leading this team than Carson Wentz. And to me, that's the Achilles heel for this team for the whole 2022 campaign. I'm going to sit on it as well. Under for Washington. I'm not sold on Rivera, especially with the internal rumblings with Del Rio on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Rivera, I think he's lost his team after 3 years.
When you look at what Carson Wentz is getting paid, Joe, a four-year deal worth $128 million is what he signed with the Eagles prior to the 2019 season. So he's only under contract with Washington now under that same deal until the end of this year in 2022. It's a big-time prove-it year for Carson Wentz, but he will carry a cap hit of north of $28 million with 15 of that guaranteed. So it's still a big, big number. And, Joe, when you look at Carson Wentz over the last couple of years, his rating last year at 94.6, but again, was bolstered by that rushing attack in Indianapolis. The year before that, 41.9 in terms of a QBR for Philly, 72.8% the quarterback ranking, 93.1 when he played with the Eagles in 2019. So again, we're not sold on Carson Wentz, and I will never, never, ever forget when Carson Wentz, the second to last week of this past season, was an 8-point home favorite against the Las Vegas Raiders. When they clinch a playoff berth, they lost the game outright as an 8-point favorite. Okay, no worries. We still got one more opportunity. Go to Jacksonville. You're a 15-point favorite on the road against the lowly Jags. They're going to pick first for the second straight year. They're the worst team in football. Go to Jacksonville. Maybe you don't cover a more than 2-touchdown spread, but you won that football game. You're into the postseason. We don't have to worry about the potential tie game between the Chargers and the Raiders later. The Steelers are done. Jacksonville wins outright by double digits, by 2 scores, as a 2-score, 2-touchdown underdog. You can't win that game, Joe. You don't earn my trust.
No. Yeah, and that's the mark of a good quarterback to an elite quarterback. The elite quarterbacks have a way to lead their team to victory, a la Joe Burrow, right? If we're comparing Joe Burrow to Carson Wentz, Wentz might have a stronger arm. Wentz might be bigger and stronger. But guess what? Joe Burrow wins. Joe Burrow finds a way to lead his team to victory. He'll look down the sights of an opposing defense. He doesn't care. He'll be sacked 6, 7, 8 times, 9 times. He's going to get up, and guess what? He's going to fling it, and he's going to find a way to pull that ball game out. The difference with Carson Wentz, he'll crumble. And that's what we saw against Jacksonville last year. I have no respect for him. And the fact that he blames it on his teammates as opposed to taking accountability as a leader and a quarterback in the NFL, worst attribute you could possibly have.
Is this harsh? Does it seem like we are discrediting Carson Wentz? Maybe. But yes, we are, at least to the point where we're not going to buy in on the Washington Commanders, either on the plus money to the over of that 8.5 win total, which again is heavily juiced to the under for a reason at minus 170, or on their number at plus 500 to contend for the NFC East, which is very interesting given the track record of that division, which we'll break down coming up on the other side of the break. By the way, Washington last year just 5-7-1 against the number as a dog. That's not very good ATS when booked as an underdog. All right, more to come on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle returns here live on the Sports Grid Radio Network. I am Ben Stevens alongside the mastermind of the pigskin in Joe Lisi. And Joe, we're just talking about the NFC East, given the news of Terry McLaurin signing his extension with the Washington Commanders, 3 years, up to $71 million of new money. The Commanders, the third best price to win the NFC East out of the four teams in that division, plus 500. The only team with longer odds, the Giants at 6-1. But the Cowboys are the favorites at plus 120. The Eagles have the second best price at plus 200. All four teams, Joe, within $5 of each other. Why is it such a competitive market, you may ask? Not because we have a bunch of good teams like the AFC West, but because we're not entirely sure what we're going to see this year, maybe with some mediocrity and maybe 9 or 10 wins taking home this divisional crown. A very interesting division from a sample size perspective over the last two decades or so.
Yeah, when you look at the NFC East as a whole, Ben, I mean, at the end of the day, it's been a different title winner for since 2004, right? So
yep.
When you look at it as a whole and you say, okay, this year we saw Washington win it a couple of years ago and they came onto the scene with great value from the Vegas and Jersey angle. And then obviously Dak Prescott had everything in front of him. They were a 12-1 shot to win the Super Bowl last year and they failed yet again under Mike McCarthy. So you look right now, Eagles are there with Jalen Hurts. Every team in this conference has a concern, a glaring weakness, right? Dallas, can they get over the hump? Can they move on from Randy Gregory with just Micah Parsons? Washington has the major concern, even though they signed Wentz. Can he step up? Can that defense step up? Philadelphia, young talent, are they experienced enough? And New York has major holes, right? Is Saquon Barkley the guy? Is Daniel Jones the guy? What is Brian Daboll do in year number one? So the only team I would really back right here from the division standpoint is Philadelphia early on because of A.J. Brown, because of Devontae Smith and Hurts. They're a young trio that I buy into. They're all winners. So I would put my money on them. And then the Giants. You know, even though I like the Cowboys, they screwed me last year. In year one, Brian Daboll maybe could take the world by storm and get to the wild card. I'm just saying, I would take a shot. I would.
You know the Giants. Well, okay, let me stop myself before I stop you, because this is the craziest division in football. As Lisi alluded to, we have not had a repeat champion in the NFC East since 2004, when the Eagles won four straight divisional crowns from 01 to 04. But since that point, Lisi, since the 2004 season, a new champion each and every year. Some teams have won it multiple times, of course, and it hasn't alternated between four each and every year, but we haven't had a team go back-to-back within the NFC East, which should mean, just from a perspective of looking at the Cowboys, who won this division a year ago, you don't bet Dallas, even at plus 120. And the market has worked against the Cowboys. Not long ago, before the NFL drafted, the end of April, the Cowboys were an odds-on favorite in minus money to win the NFC East. The Eagles go and acquire A.J. Brown on draft night. They pay him a big extension, and then they move up the board as well. But even 2 weeks ago, Lisi, the Cowboys were plus 115, and the Eagles were plus 220. 20 cents shaved off that price for Philly, 5 cents added on for the Cowboys, where we stand now. Dallas at plus 120, plus 200 for the Birds. And so, yes, the Giants, although I am not optimistic, Lisi, I think Brian Daboll is going to be a good head coach. He's a wonderful offensive mind who knows how to make on-the-fly adjustments, cultivated Josh Allen into the MVP favorite and front runner that we see today. And even last year, Joe, developed a ground game in Buffalo that really took them to that elite status, where you now have Buffalo, after Daboll leaves, in a great scenario to be your AFC and Super Bowl favorites. Brian Daboll is that good offensively. But can he do it with Danny Dimes, with Daniel Jones? I remain skeptical of that, Joe. So that's why I don't think plus 600 is worth it. But based on the track record, the precedent, and the sample size over nearly two decades, we have seen in the NFC East, truly anything can happen. It's a dart throw at one of those prices, and hopefully you cash a big plus money ticket.
Oh, agree on Danny Dimes. I mean, but I'm banking on two factors. Now, they moved from plus 850 to win the division now to 6-1. So that narrowed. I mean, they were about 750, maybe right around 8-1, maybe about a month and a half ago. So some money's coming in. I mean, the gap has narrowed. Washington 5-1, New York is 6-1. So take a coin flip. That's anybody's guess on who has a better record. But you're right about Dable. I'm also banking on the fact that they have Tyrod Taylor. They signed to a two-year, $17 million contract. You know what?
Okay.
It wouldn't shock me that Dable has already said, you know, Danny Dimes, he's our guy. That might be for the first eight games. You know, if Danny Dimes goes 2-6 or 2-5, let's say after the first seven or eight games, guess what? I could see Brian Dable going to the organization and being like, "We gave this guy every opportunity to shine. He can't step up, and I want to turn the reins over to Tyrod Taylor," which I believe could actually lead this team to an 8 or a 9-win season, which might be able to steal maybe the conference. So. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, I agree with you about Dable. Joe Judge sucked as a play caller. We talk about the blue-collar ethics. He should have been coaching in North Bergen, New Jersey, for a high school team when you take two knees inside the 5-yard line. And you allow Mike Lennon to throw four times, yes, four times against the Chicago Bears. Four times. Not four times in the game. Not a, I mean, that's ridiculous. Are you kidding me? So you can't get much worse than that, Ben.
You would have loved to see Joe Judge in North Bergen, New Jersey. He would have been killing it at the high school level, just making his kid run gassers after gassers after gassers because they couldn't line up correctly on special teams and didn't embody the good blue-collar nature of the state of New Jersey. This is what I will say, though, about your point on Danny Dimes, on DJ, Daniel Jones, who I saw walking around the East Village of Manhattan not all that long ago. It was kind of cool.
How'd he look?
I was walking down the street. He was tall, I'll tell you that much. He's a tall guy. I was on his way to a date with what I would presume was his girlfriend, and looked like they were having a nice time on a nice early summer day in Manhattan. So here's what I'll say, though, Joe. It's a prove-it year for Daniel Jones, now entering, I believe, his fourth year in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken, because the Giants did not pick up his fifth year of his rookie option based on that contract. And when you see what Daniel Jones will have to do this year, Lisey, as I'm trying to find the stats on Daniel Jones, can you pull up for me, please? All right, we'll get to it in just a second. That's what I was looking for. All right, Joe. So he is entering, yes, year number four in the National Football League. They did not pick up his fifth year option, which means this is the year for Daniel Jones. If he is not good at any point and Brian Dable decides to bench him, well, that will probably be his career for the New York Giants. And it should be said that Brian Dable is now the head coach. He was not when Daniel Jones was drafted. And maybe more importantly, Joe Shane is now the general manager. They have that relationship from Buffalo, but they did not have Daniel Jones as their quarterback. So there is no kindred spirit right now to DJ, to Danny Dimes heading into this season if things are bad. And here's what's fascinating to me, Joe, about the NFC East. Let's go to the Giants win total, for instance. 7.5. The under heavily juiced at minus 160. We already told you Washington's win total at 8.5 was heavily juiced to the under at minus 170. All four teams in the NFC East have a win total where the under is juiced. I'd have to do the research quickly to see if that's the case in any other division in the National Football League. But just based on the odds, Joe, there's an expectation that whatever number the FanDuel Sportsbook set, the four teams in the NFC East are going under. The Eagles have the least amount of juice on their under of their win total at 9.5. It's minus 120. The Cowboys have the highest win total at 10.5, but the under juiced at minus 125.
Yeah, it used to be the black and blue division with Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago, and Minnesota. Now it's the NFC East because they all beat the crap out of each other, and there's parity within the division, right? There's not that elite quarterback yet and that elite team that could just beat up each other, right, or beat up the opponents every year. I mean, they change over the turnover in terms of coaches and talent on this roster, on all of these rosters, are there over the last 5 to 7 years, and that's why you see another division winner each and every season since 2004. But at the end of the day, these I want to say the rivalries, when we think about NFL rivalries, I still feel like the NFC East rivalries are a little bit more them in the AFC West than anybody else.
Oh, the rivalries, the hatred between these fan bases is fantastic. We had one of our intern here, Lisi, on the morning after, just a couple of days ago, who is a Giants fan, raised in the tri-state area right outside New York, I think on Long Island, and absolutely loves the Giants. But we did a segment on the show a couple of days ago about the NFC East from this very idea that nobody has been a repeat champion in the division since 2004. And he was like, well, if it's for me, I'm going to bet the Eagles, but I don't want my bet to cash because I hate the Eagles. I'm a Giants fan. I'm like, then why are you betting the Eagles? He goes, well, I think it makes the most sense, but I absolutely hate them. So, yes, there is a hatred there. There is the rivalry stake that we see and might lead to some of that parity where you had, what, 2 years ago in 2020, Joe, when the Washington football team at the time won this division, got into a game where they hosted the eventual Super Bowl champs in the Bucs and actually took Tom Brady and Tampa Bay down to the wire. There was teams in the hunt with six wins at the time. Six, seven wins got this divisional crown just a couple of years ago. And based on where these win totals are right now, Joe, I would not be surprised if a team won nine games and could legitimately be in the conversation to win this division by the time we got to week 17 and week 18. I would not be shocked if it's nine wins to do it.
No, I'm in agreement with you, and that's why, you know what, I don't love this division and say, you know, whoever wins this is definitely going to make a run in terms of the playoffs. I think they're, you know, capped out in terms of where they go in terms of the Super Bowl, because I thought last year everything matched up for Dallas. They couldn't do it. But when I look at New York and I see a 7.5 win total at plus 135, I'm like, all right, 8-9 is not out of the realm of possibility. So,
yes.
I mean, it is there for the Philly Eagles, right? When you look at Sirianni and you look at Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown now, Devontae Smith, they're starting to get a little momentum, and that fan base is buying in, baby, where we can outscore every team in the division. So forget about defense. We don't need it right now. Let's just run away with the division and let's see what happens when we reach the playoffs like Joe Burrow last year.
The top rushing offense in the entirety of the NFL last year were the Philadelphia Eagles, and it was after like week five when all Eagles fans were like, who is this Nick Sirianni weirdo, and why doesn't he run the football? And then by the end of the year, they were averaging more than 156 yards per game and were the top rushing offense in the entirety of the National Football League. Defensively, Philly 19th in terms of scoring defense, giving up just over 23 points per game in terms of that scoring defense perspective. From a total defense side of things for Philadelphia, though, top 10, 329 yards per game allowed to their opponents. I'm all in on Philly. That is my bet in the NFC East, plus 200 on the birds to win this divisional crown, taking in the track record and just my optimism for Philadelphia, the second easiest schedule in all of the National Football League, the only team with an easier schedule, by the way, Joe, which helps your case to go over 7.5 with all of that plus money, is the New York Giants. But the reason I'm in on the Eagles, and I think it's a prove-it year for many guys in the NFC East, is Jalen Hurts now in year number 3. If he's going to show you he has the stuff to be an NFL quarterback at the starting level and have success in the National Football League, it's this year with all of the tools he has at his disposal, if offensively. If it's not this year, I'm not sure when it is for Jalen Hurts. A couple more minutes left on Football Full Circle. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Green Bay and even Minnesota with Cousins. Whoever wins those divisions, we believe and we buy in that has a legitimate shot to obviously win the Super Bowl. Whoever wins the NFC East, whether it's the Cowboys, Eagles, or let's give it to Carson Wentz, let's just say, right, in Washington, do we really believe they're going to go beyond the first round, maybe the second round? No shot that they're going to get our money from a Super Bowl perspective. That's the discrepancy between the NFC East right now and all the other conferences in the NFC. That, and when you look at quarterback play, too, elite quarterbacks in all of those conferences for the top teams. Dak is good, but he's not elite yet. Until you win those big games, that's when you're put into a different category.
Absolutely so. And Joe, it's not just us that feels that way. The FanDuel Sportsbook also kind of feels a similar way. The Cowboys, despite being a divisional favorite, have the fifth best odds to win the NFC at plus 850. The Eagles tied with the Cardinals for the sixth best price to win the NFC at 14-1. I can hear your argument potentially for backing the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC East at plus 120, but never would I bet them in a postseason market when they've only won three playoff games in the last 25 years. That does it for us on Football Full Circle. The money line's up next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.